Hey, hey, and welcome to Daddy Mojo. It's the podcast where we'll talk about parenting, all-age comic books, toys, and more. Now, here's your host, Trey Burley.
Hey, it's Trey. Thanks for joining the podcast this week. We have more comics about squirrels than any other week. That's happening this week, and that's a great thing. We have bunnies, we have monkeys, Fuku Fuku, Sponge, Scooby, monsters, and more. It's this week in the podcast. Well then, the music you hear in the background is from Blanket Music, and if it sounds kind of funky, you're like, hey, I like that, you probably have heard their stuff. It's Poddington Bear, and all of it is over at Free Music Archives. It's funky, and it puts you in a nice little Sebastian and Belle type of mood. It does. So what's the difference between a graphic novel and a trade paperback? You know, a couple of years, that was a pretty big deal as to what the difference is and how can you say what is what. Today, that's not really such a big deal, but here's the situation as I see it. A graphic novel can be a brand new collection of stories, usually in color. It's good bright colors, and it's fun to look at for anybody, any kids of all ages. I love looking at graphic novels that collect comic books or original graphic novels. Whereas I identify a trade paperback as being a collection of comic strips or previously released comic books, usually in bulker, thicker form. Like a trade paperback might collect 15 or 20 issues of Hulk or Archie or something like that. And that's kind of the way I see the difference. However, now, you know, circa 2017, the difference is kind of muddled. The reason I mention this is because there are so many cool graphic novels out this week. Just wanted to kind of gloss over it and say, here's the way I see the difference. And if you use the terms interchangeably, as many folks do, you know what? That's cool. Having said that, these first three are straight-up graphic novels that will captivate young readers, and I love all these too. The first one up is Bird and Squirrel. This is a graphic novel. This is volume 4, On Fire. Now, this is, for us, it's the most enjoyable graphic novel we've seen since Laser Moose. And Laser Moose came out last year. Funny, funny stuff. Technically, we should say the graphic novel's name is Laser Moose and Rabbit Boy, but we just call him Laser Moose because it's a cooler title. Anywho, back to the point at hand, Bird and Squirrel on Fire. This is the fourth graphic novel from James Burks. And what I like about this, and what kids will like about this, is that it is just straight up funny and cute, slightly irreverent, again slightly, and the colors and the graphics in it just assault your senses in such a funny, positive way. Kids are going to love it. It's a book that I can't look at enough. It's from Graphics. It's one of the imprints. It's actually the imprint of Scholastic, the group that does like the school book sales and stuff. This is a great graphic novel. It's Bird and Squirrel on Fire. It retails for $9.99. However, if you shop around, I'm sure you can get it for maybe $6 or $8. And it's awesome. It's great stuff. It's one of those graphic novels that you look at, and it's hard not to smile at when you read it. Another graphic novel that's out this week that is also as smiley but slightly more irreverent is also Bunny vs. Monkey. Bunny vs. Monkey. It's a graphic novel, volume 2. Now, this one has a monkey who does shoot lasers out of his flying hovercraft, and a bunny, and it's cute, and they're up to mischief. It's a little more along the lines of Adventure Time for your kids. So if you're looking at these graphic novels and you're saying, you know what, Bird and Squirrel sounds really cool, but it sounds just a little too simple for my child, maybe Bunny versus Monkey is your stuff. It's the graphic novel, the second graphic novel in the series. Funny stuff. And again, that is from Scholastic. Good, good, good. Now, if you're listening to this and saying, you know what, this is all good and well, but I want a graphic novel that's a little simpler and a whole lot more cat-oriented, this is your cup of tea. This is Fuku Fuku, Kitten Tales. It's a graphic novel. This is volume 2, Fuku Fuku. This is from New York Times bestseller Konome Kanata, and it is the tale, as you may have guessed from the slightly kind of tongue-in-cheek title of it, about a kitten that has been adopted in Japan from a grandmother and their life together. The stray cat Fuku Fuku, it's very kawaii. It's funny, if you deal in manga or anime or Japanese culture at all, kawaii is the way they describe it. Kawaii, it's just a way of saying cute. But if you alternate The vowel on the end, kawaii, kawaii, also means scary, kawaii. However, this, fuku fuku, is very kawaii. It's going to be great for ages 5 and up, because the vocabulary is going to be really simple. The illustrations are good, and they're very sparsely written. So in other words, there's not a lot of dialogue. It's a whole lot of cat, a whole lot of grandmother. It's very cute, and it's going to skew younger for those graphic novel kids that want to be with the cool kids and read some graphic novels. Two of the all-age comic go-tos are out this week. It's SpongeBob Comics issue number 65 and Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? Number 78. Now, Scooby-Doo is from DC Comics, retails for $2.99. What a great price point. That is just near perfect. And this is a great comic for literally any age. Our 7-year-old likes reading it. Our 5-year-old likes looking at it and looking at the art. And it's Scooby-Doo, really. What can go wrong? SpongeBob Comics. This is great because it's different from the television show. It has varied art. It's awesome. It's funny. And it is from United Plankton. It's one of those little imprints on bongos. SpongeBob Comics issue 65. Let's talk superheroes, shall we? And one of the superhero series that we mention almost every month when it comes out is Unbeatable Squirrel Girl. And this week, issue number 17 comes out, and it's worth mentioning again because it is the second title with Squirrel. With Bird and Squirrel being the first one, the graphic novel, Unbeatable Squirrel Girl. There's no coincidence here, two separate titles. It's just funny to think of squirrels being in the podcast twice. This is a very good comic for boys or girls. Ignore the teen rating from Marvel. It's rated T from Marvel for some unknown reason. But this comic is going to be great for kids 8 and up. It's got some tongue-in-cheek superhero action and some mild high school or middle school drama. Very good comic book. Unbeatable Squirrel Girl, issue 17, out this week. A comic book that we've been kind of watching. We're like, you know what, should we include this? It's not really a teen title, but it's so close to Unbeatable Squirrel Girl in its quality, its consistency, and who it speaks to. You know what, let's toss it in, and you guys decide if you like it or not, because I think you'll love it, and you probably already know who I'm talking about. It's Ms. Marvel. Ms. Marvel, issue number 15, comes out this week. And this is a fun title because it is slightly tongue-in-cheek, but it's a little more realistic because you're dealing with the struggles of a teen, and it cuts a little closer to home while still being very surreal and very, very superhero action-y without the full-on tongue-in-cheekness of Squirrel Girl. It's Ms. Marvel. I think you'll like it. It's going to be great for boys or girls ages 9 or 10 and up. Because of the title Ms. Marvel, yeah, girls may like it more than boys. However, there's enough in this comic book to be great for either one of them, and I think they'll dig it. Please let me know if you like it or not. I think you will. One of the miniseries that really exceeded our expectations this year is this one. It blends in the ever-popular porthole period. Oh, there's a porthole to another dimension. Let's see where it goes. You know, that's kind of a tired and true device in comics. Sometimes it works, sometimes it's just weird and played out, and doesn't work. This time it works. Justice League Power Rangers. This is issue 2 of 6. The first issue really, really exceeded our expectations. What happened was Lord Zedd had sabotaged something on the Power Rangers side of the dimension. Long story short, their device got all messed up. Put one of the Rangers back in Metropolis. What is going on? Justice League intervenes. And it's funny stuff because the Power Rangers can carry their own. The Justice League are very cool and they've got more name value. And this series really takes both of the good attributes of both franchises, puts them together, and brings them into kind of a new enemy for the Justice League. It's funny. It's a miniseries. It is from DC Comics and Boom Studios, so it's a dual thing. Really check it out. Boys and girls are going to like this series equally. I'll say ages 8 and up. And that was the surprising part of this, because the art in this is not on Superman or Batman levels, where it's more realistic and the violence is going to be a little too real for an all-age audience. This is a great all-age comic book that is being marketed to teen audiences. Check it out. Ages 8 and up, you're going to love Justice League Power Rangers. Issue 2 of 6 is out this week. Now, this one is definitely more for teens, but it's only a dollar, so I think you'll love it. And it combines two issues of a classic series, True Believers Wolverine Weapon X, number 1. Now, Logan, of course, the movie, comes out very soon, so that could be what Marvel Comics is doing here. They're kind of trying to get people recommitted to the Wolverine legend. And this is a fun comic book from 1988. It is the reprinting of Wolverine, issue 72 through 74, and it's Marvel does this occasionally. It's really cool stuff. True Believers, where they reprint some of their classic stories for only a dollar. Only a dollar! So that's why it rocks. Last week, Invader Zim was out from Oni Press, and something else that was only a dollar, and this is a great way to get older kids into the legend or the beginning of a character's story. Check it out if you have a kid who's going to be 11 or 12 and up, because it's rated teen, and it's very accurately rated T for teen, but it's only a dollar. The debut graphic novel from Ru Shu is Newsprints, and this is a graphic novel that comes out this week that some folks are really going to like for several different reasons. It speaks to boys or girls, and manga is such an interesting thing, and it's manga in the school library system. That's going to be the genre of book that, in speaking with librarians at the recent ALA conference, man, kids go mental over manga. I had no idea, so we're slowly getting our feet wet into that. Newsprints is not a traditional manga. However, if you look at the art, it resonates and feels like a manga in that there's a lot of emotion. Some of the panels are written drawn at different angles than you would expect, and there's a lot of room in the comic. It gives the story really space to breathe. The story is going to be okay for any age. However, realistically, only ages 10 and up, maybe 9 and up, are going to want to see where it goes, because it feels like a book, but it's a graphic novel. What it is, it's about Blue. And Blue is a girl who disguises herself as a boy so that she can work for the newspaper. It's about friendship, it's about adventure, it's about another boy that she meets, and it's set against the backdrop of war. So there are some more mature dynamics that say, you know what, maybe a 7 or a 6-year-old wouldn't like this, even though there's nothing really wrong in the content that they might not like. But there's going to be too much reading for that age anyway. So I'll say, you know what, ages 9 and up, you're really going to dig Newsprints, and it's going to give you a chance to really taste something new and something that's different, and I think you're really going to like it. It's Newsprints by Ru Shu. Now, another graphic novel that's out this week is a classic. It's geared to older audiences, and it's priced appropriately. It's $25, my goodness. But it's gorgeous. It really is. Moby Dick. Now, this, you know the story. Look, it's Captain Ahab. Look at that. It is a beautifully drawn graphic novel. Really is. And I guess the story of Moby Dick, when did they read that? I guess middle school, maybe upper middle school, lower high school. I'll say 13, 14 up. This is going to be your cup of tea. This is the real story. It doesn't take any shortcuts with the story. It is classic Moby Dick with beautiful black and white illustrations. That's what it is. So if you've got to read this for high school, upper middle school, pick up the graphic novel and enjoy yourself. The last graphic novel that we're going to look at this week. I told you, a lot of graphic novels this week. Is this one. Loved this story from Titan Comics. Doctor Who, Supremacy of the Cybermen. This is one of the stories that combined the foremost recent Doctors from Doctor Who for the Cybermen's 50th anniversary. Now, of the Doctor Who villains, the Cybermen are easily my favorite. Just because the dialects they give me such a headache. They really do. They're kind of fun if you can mute the TV quickly, but outside of that, when I hear them, oh my goodness, they give me such a headache. That's why I always prefer the Cybermen, unless it was the Angels. The Angels are also great. And I mention all this to say that Doctor Who is a great comic book for all ages. It's a very intelligent comic book that requires them to read and kind of understand a little bit of what's happening. So you know what? If you're middle school to upper middle school, jump into Doctor Who because you're going to love it. On a dare one time, we asked our babysitter who was at then, she was upper middle school, maybe middle school. And I was watching Doctor Who right when she came. And she, what are you watching? Doctor Who. You wouldn't like it. I would too. So we got into a little conversation. I said, Doctor Who is probably too intelligent for you, and you're not going to like it. I didn't say intelligent. I forget exactly what I said, but it wasn't intelligent. But it was a way to kind of reverse psychoanalyze her into watching Doctor Who, and it worked. And she watched about 3 episodes and loved it. Supremacy of the Cybermen, you're going to be like that too if you've got a middle schooler and up. It's 5 issues from the Titan comic book miniseries, and it's great. They'll love it. This comic book is our favorite. We mentioned it every time it comes out. It's a miniseries, so we only have 2 more issues or 3 more issues. I think it's a 6-issue miniseries run. It's Jim Henson, Storyteller Giants. It's from Boom Studios. The art in this comic book is really gorgeous, and this one is watercolor, so it's watercolor. It's even prettier than the last one, is it? I don't know, because it's also gorgeous. It's like saying, what's my favorite pizza? Bacon pizza or pepperoni pizza? I don't know. It just depends on my mood. Jim Henson's Storyteller Giants is kind of like that. It's fables minced and collected from around the world in this miniseries that will absolutely blow you away. The content is going to be great for any age. However, given the semi-serious nature of the stories and the reading that has to go into really enjoying these comic books, I'll say maybe 11 and up. But the art will blow you away. You'll love it. Jim Henson's Storyteller Giants, issue number 3, comes out this week, and we're on Twitter. Would you please stop by and say hello? It's at Daddy Mojo.
Thanks for listening to Daddy Mojo. Be sure to tune in next time. For more information on any of the things we talked about today, just check out the website, daddymojo.net, or hit us up at Daddy Mojo on social media.